been an interesting week for me intellectually and spiritually. I had a couple of things come across my radar, and I am a firm believer that there is no such thing as a coincidence. So from two completely different places came two pieces of information that went like this and answered a whole bunch of questions that I didn't realize I had. There's a guy named Daniel Greenfield. He goes on the internet by Sultan Kanish. He wrote a book called Domestic Enemies and goes back to the founding fathers and demonstrates how all of the stuff we're going through right now started back at the Revolution. For example, they used a plague to steal an election. Instead of COVID, it was yellow fever. And that enabled Aaron Burr to steal the third presidential election, and he and Thomas Jefferson were struggling with it. Literally everything that we're seeing today has its roots back there, and it had to do with the French Revolution and people who were committed socialists coming over here and saying, wow, look at this virgin place that we can set up our utopia on Earth. And so there was this constant struggle between the Constitution, which is biblically based, and various forms of socialism, which are not. That's thing one. Thing two is, I have various aggregators that go out and look for stuff, a video by somebody called the Counterspell Group. What they did is they went back to Plato, and they explained Plato was an apostle of a different god. Everybody thinks that Plato is simply philosophy. It is not. It is, in fact, the intellectual outworking of worship of another god. It just isn't stated that way. Of course, Plato is respected by everybody in the world as this great intellectual, and people read Plato today, and they're trying to do things in Platonic ways without realizing what they're doing is they're serving a different god. Most of you are familiar with Gnosticism, for example. And the idea of Gnosticism, which was an early Platonic derivative, is that this is evil. And our job is to get out of this and back up to being ascendant spirits. So the idea of being spirits in heaven and all that kind of stuff is Platonic. It is not biblical. And in order to do that, all of this eventually has to be destroyed. That's 2,000 words or less what he said. Anyway, it was very good, but the thing that clicked for me is that we are in a religious war, and nobody realizes it. Sultan Kanish again, another article, talking about the war with Hamas. And he says, the problem is liberalism has cast that war as big bad Israel versus oppressed Gaza. And that's not what's going on at all. Because Islam worships another god, and Islam is a system of conquest masquerading as a religion. So no matter what concessions Israel gives to the Palestinians, they are still going to try and shoot rockets at them because it's a religious war. It is not a war of colonialism or any of that kind of thing. And until people realize that you're dealing with a religious war as opposed to simply social conflict, which is what the narrative is, until people realize that, there's never going to be any resolution. So there are two religious wars going on, and Christianity doesn't realize that they are. That's what's happening. So Platonism has been able to cast itself as religiously neutral secularism. In other words, this is just philosophy. We're just trying to set up good governments and so forth, and there's no religion involved. And of course, our Constitution says that the Congress will make no law establishing religion. The problem is, all of our morality is based on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We just read the Ten Commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal, etc., etc. So when Christianity pushes what we would call traditional Western morality, Platonism pushes back by saying, keep your dogma off my karma, or words like that. In other words, we don't want your religious morals imposed on us. They're religiously based. We don't worship that God. And so what we now have is what we have now, where everything seems to be falling apart, which it is, and that is because it's a religious conflict which is disguised as not a conflict at all. It's just simply, this is logic, this is reason. It goes back to Plato. Everybody understands this. And this is how you should organize your society because it makes sense according to Plato. And we look at it and say, wait a minute, you're killing babies. Wait a minute, your families are broken down. Wait a minute, there's rampant theft in your cities. Wait a minute, nothing works. It's all falling apart. Well, that's just your God. That isn't who we worship. Now, two things, idol worship and conquest. The two religions that we are fighting against, even though we don't know that one of them is a religion, are completely different. Islam is fiercely monotheistic. They are very much against idols or anything like that. They are interested in conquest. On the other hand, the derivatives of Plato make idols. They don't tell you they're idols, but they are. So what I'm going to talk about is what do these idols look like, and how do you recognize them, and how do you recognize that they are trying to lead you into idol worship? Islam, which is an enemy, doesn't do idols. They simply want to conquer you, and what they'll do is they will shoot rockets at you and then claim to be a victim when you strike back. Classic. They shoot hundreds of rockets into Israel, and then when Israel fights back, oh, big bad Israel, they're beating up on us. That's simply a technique. There is no peace with Islam because Islam will not have peace with anybody else. The liberal idea of Islam is if we can turn them into Muslim Episcopalians where they're worshiping this God but they don't really mean it, everything will be okay. And that's the whole basis of Land for Peace, all of these schemes, if you will, to get the Muslims to be really prosperous, get them to settle down and quit being religious fanatics, and they'll just be different Episcopalians. And that doesn't work, by the way. It doesn't work. But that's the attitude that's going on, and that's what the narrative is with Israel right now. The problem is Gaza is oppressed. They are strangled by Israel, et cetera, et cetera. And old big bad Israel is going in there and doing X, Y, or Z. It has nothing to do with the problem. The problem is Islam. Islam is not going to be satisfied until Israel is destroyed, period. Liberalism, on the other hand, is different. Let's look at today's gospel reading. I will remind you, by the way, historically, Plato died in about 370 BC. So Plato was a well-known commodity at the time of Yeshua. And for those of you who remember your Israel history, the Wars of the Maccabees, when the Greeks took over the region, and during the Wars of the Maccabees, you had Jewish Hellenists. Israel was divided between those who wanted to follow the law of Moses and those who wanted to follow Greek philosophy. And it was a very wide division. So there were lots and lots of Jewish Hellenists who were enamored of the philosophy of Greece. So now, fast forward 350 years. Now we have Yeshua. And listen to what he says in Matthew 16, which we read today, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees are asking for a sign. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, evil and adulterous. Those are two different words, mean two different things. It is not just bad and stinky. Evil and adulterous mean two different things. Evil means doing bad things. Adulterous means worshiping another god in this context. Because all throughout the Tanakh, when Israel goes astray, the prophets accuse Israel of adultery, which is to say, you have left the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're doing something else. So when Yeshua calls these people evil and adulterous, he is saying, A, you've gone astray and you've got a lousy society, which isn't working very well, and B, you're worshiping some other God. Now, I don't know this. This is speculation on my part. But I suspect part of that is Greek philosophy has entered into the practice of Judaism, just as it's entered into the practice of Christianity over the centuries. And I suspect that's part of what's going on. But the point is, he accuses them of being idolatrous, and then he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is to say, don't listen to their teachings, because they're leading you away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to something different. So let's talk about idols now. Because as I say, we got two problems, two wars that are going on, one of which we sort of all realize. Everybody in here realizes it, but most of the people in the hinterland don't realize it, and most of the people in your average church don't realize it, that Islam is not appeasable. They're either going to have to be defeated or they're going to eventually defeat you. The same thing goes with Platonism. But the problem here is, it is masquerading as secularism, and we don't realize that it's a religiously based philosophy. In fact, one of the things, I didn't realize this, the original title of Marx's Communist Manifesto was The Communist Statement of Faith. And Engels persuaded him to change it. We're talking economics here, we're not talking faith. Well, yeah, we are talking faith. We just don't want to let everybody know we're talking faith. So, a couple of things. Obviously, I just said idolatry is adultery. And Christian people then, who get involved in these idols that are being constructed, are committing adultery, whether they recognize it or not. Let's go back to the sin of the golden calf. If you remember that, Israel made a golden calf, and Aaron says, tomorrow we're going to have a feast to Jehovah. So that calf was intended to be a vehicle for worship of Jehovah. It was not some other god. Didn't matter. God said, no, don't do that. And in fact, in today's Torah portion, one of the things that Moses says over and over again is, therefore, watch yourselves carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb. The Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. So the idea of somehow making a form to worship, even if you are worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is forbidden. So let's look at idolatry. Now, there's another definition for idolatry. One is adultery. Go to Colossians. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In those you two once walked when you were living in them. So what Paul is saying here is the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, is in fact a protection against idolatry. So, got two problems now. One is making an image and worshiping a different god. The other one is covetousness. What do you suppose secular liberalism uses as the lure of its idols? Covetousness. There are those out there who vote for a living, which is to say, they vote for things that they think will get them free stuff. The thing about communism or socialism is everybody thinks there's going to be free stuff. And A, it doesn't work, ever. But B, the free stuff doesn't last. In fact, there was an internet meme that I thought was really very cute. A girl was talking about communism. And we're going to get rid of the oppressors, we're going to get rid of the capitalists, we're going to get rid of all of this. And this guy says, well, what are you going to do then? Well, I'm just going to sit on my little farm and I'm going to raise vegetables. And the guy looked at him, your farm? Again, a lack of awareness, a lack of understanding what you're dealing with. The whole point of communism is you don't have your farm. You become somebody's slave. So what we have now is our idols, our institutions. And this, by the way, has got a long and sad history in Israel, where they turn institutions into idols. I've read this to you lots of times, but Jeremiah 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They are looking at Solomon's temple when they say that. And what God is saying is to say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, as in we are in Jerusalem and there's God's temple, so we can do whatever we want and we will be safe, is deceptive. For you to trust in the temple of the Lord while you are behaving in a sinful way, that's no longer the temple to you. In fact, he describes it as it has become a den of robbers, which is to say, a hideout for robbers. So you go out and you rob somebody and you run back to your hideout. And the temple has become a hideout that you can run back to after you've robbed somebody. And what God is saying is, no, you can't use my house that way. And in fact, if you do use my house that way, I will take it away from you, which he did twice. And I'm suggesting to you for the same reason both times. Go back to an evil and adulterous generation. So institutions get turned into idols. Very human. So what we've done is we've taken government and the institutions of government and we have put them in place of the things that we should expect from God or should expect in a relationship with God. So we have got experts and the science and all that kind of stuff. And all of that leads you away from God. Science, by the way, doesn't mean what people think it means. The original meaning of science was alchemy, which is magic, trying to turn base elements into gold and so forth. That's what the origin of the word is. Aristotle nuked Plato, and when Aristotle was revived, science changed to become the scientific method as we know it, where you do something, you observe it, you write it down, and so forth, and then you do an experiment and check whether it works or not. And that lasted from the 18th century to today and is now going back to the original. So you have now where people say, you got to trust the science. It has become an idol again. And I will tell you that science will get the results that the people funding it want. In fact, there's a website that talks about replication failures. Now, real science, you do your procedures, you get a result. You say, all right, if I do this, this, and this, I get this result. Anybody in the world should be able to do this, this, and this and get the same result. If that happens, you have science. It's repeatable. The problem now is all of these studies are not repeatable. People try and repeat them and they don't get the same answers, which means it's not science. And if you deal with a secular liberal, one of the things he will say is, studies show X, Y, or Z. That's the liberal equivalent of scripture says. Trust the science. This is scientific. No, it's not. And recognize that what you're in is a religious conflict and not a secular conflict. And what they have done is they have set science up as an idol. They have set government institutions up as idols, and they have put their trust in those. One other thing that's very interesting, going back to the creation myth of this other god, Platonism, the whole idea of that religion is this created order is evil, and we want to get out of it. And the way we get out of it is to destroy it. And that moves us back to unity with God. That is directly in opposition with what God said. I have made it, and it is good. God specifically says it is good. Platonism says it's evil. So the fact that things break and don't work is not a bug, it's a feature. All these cockamamie things that they put together that eventually don't work, we've got a space capsule up there where you got astronauts that are stranded because the science, as they did it, doesn't work. These things are well known. Thiokol figured out the expansion of rubber seals in space vehicles 50 years ago. Boeing can't do it today. That's because things don't work, and that is not an accident. That's a feature of this religion that we are fighting against. So as you go out, don't be intimidated by these people that say, science says, or the studies show, or it's scientific, or keep your religion out of this, or whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people don't recognize what's going on. The Platonic origin of this is not obvious to your average person that you're going to talk to out there. Just isn't. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They're simply trusting in somebody who they trust, some authority figure. But recognize that you can look them right in the face and say, no, that's wrong. It is not true. And if you do that, you're going to come to destruction and death eventually. That's what happens. And by the way, that is not a bug, that's a feature. That's why we have population limitation. That's why you have all of this stuff that kills millions of people. It's designed to do that. Just like my hypothetical young lady who was extolling communism, once we get rid of all these people that are in the way, kill all the capitalists and all that kind of stuff, then I'll be able to sit on my farm and grow my vegetables in peace. Your farm? So understand what you're dealing with. That's the important thing here. This is a religious war which is disguised as something else. And as you know that, all of a sudden all sorts of things become fairly clear.